Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome to this Monday edition of Catholic Answers Live. I'm so happy that it's Monday, so happy to be back in this chair. And we got a couple of fantastic guests for you today. Carlo Broussard will be in second hour, and we're going to be talking about obstacles to joining the Catholic faith, to joining the Catholic Church. So if you or someone you love is facing an obstacle and you'd like to talk about it, second hour is all for you. This hour, an entire hour for non-Catholics. We ask the Catholics to hold off on calling this hour, but because it's going to be an open forum, but just for non-Catholics. So give us a call, 888-318-7884. Open forum means anything you want to know about the Catholic faith, about the Catholic Church, about Catholic morals. We would love to explore that with you, get into it with you, 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Steve Ray, a convert to the Catholic Church himself and the author of three best-selling books from Ignatius Press, Crossing the Tiber, Upon This Rock, and St. John's Gospel. He also is the producer and host of several DVD series of the Footprints series, The Footprints of God, The Story of Salvation from Abraham to Augustine is one, and I believe it's The Footprints of Elijah is the next one coming out, or...
The next one we just finished filming is Elijah and Elisha, the Conscience of the Kingdom.
Wow.
So it's on those two prophets.
Uh-huh. And they lived when, Steve?
800 B.C. area, the 800 B.C., and we filmed them all in Israel, Palestinian areas, Egypt, and in Jordan.
Wow. Wow. So when does that come out?
Well, Ignatius Press wants to put it in some theaters first,
and then we
thought it would be come out for sale by Christmas, but probably by Easter. But they're going to have it on other formats for people to watch beforehand, and then it'll be released later on DVD.
Very good. Steve and his wife, Janet, also are certified guides to the Holy Land and lead pilgrimages, actually, to all kinds of different places, but very frequently to the Middle East and Rome. When are you going again, Steve? When's the next trip?
We leave Friday.
Where are you going?
We're going to Israel. We've got a sold-out group of Knights and Ladies of the Holy Sepulchre. And then we go from there. We go to Fatima and Lourdes. We're going all through Portugal, Spain, and France with Spirit Catholic Radio and Archbishop Lucas in Nebraska. And then we don't get even home from there. We go straight back with another group to Israel.
Wow.
And then next year we also have the Saints and Shrines of Italy, which is a new one for us. We've done Italy a lot, but the Saints and Shrines of Italy is really great. We start in the north in Milan, and we work our way all the way down to Rome.
What is that, like a two-year tour? I mean, to get all the Saints of Italy in.
Well, we get Padre Pio and Assisi and Anziano, all kinds of cool things.
Open forum today for non-Catholics. If you are not a Catholic, we encourage you to call this hour. If you are a Catholic, we'd ask you to just hold off and let the non-Catholic folks have a chance to ask questions about the Catholic faith, the Catholic Church, about the Bible, about what we believe morally, and why we believe all those things. Give us a call, 888-318-7884, or if you prefer the spelling version, 888-31-TRUTH. Steve Ray, our guest, and Steve, calls already coming in. You feel comfortable going to calls?
Sure.
All right, let's start with Mariah in Los Angeles, listening on AM 930. Mariah, your question for Steve Ray.
I'm 14 years old, and I'm having trouble believing in faith and, like, God. I just need answers on how I should pursue this, how I should start believing, or how I should resume myself in faith.
Okay, Mariah, you said you're 14 years old. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Well, I'm impressed, Mariah, that mostly when people are 14 years old, all they care about is the latest rock stars and music and movies. And
video
for a 14-year-old, yeah, video games as well. But for a 14-year-old to be asking questions, does God exist and how do I know these things? And I want to get my mind situated on these kind of religious and philosophical and very important topics. I'm impressed. I'm very impressed. Well, I'll tell you a little story about my daughter, Cindy. She's a philosopher now. She's a PhD in philosophy. Maybe you'll end up like that too with the questions you're asking. But I remember when she was 8 years old, she said to me, "Dad, I don't know if there's a God anymore. I know you think there's a God, but I don't know if there's a God." And I says, "Well, why don't you think about it and then let me know?" And she said, "Okay, I'll be thinking about it." And I could tell she was thinking all the time. And then one day she came back and said, "Dad, I've decided that there must be a God." And I said, "Well, how did you come to that conclusion?" She said, "Dad, our house has pictures on all the walls. You have pictures of everything and nice frames." She said, "I realized that those pictures didn't get there by themselves. You had to frame them and you had to buy them and paint them or whatever and put them all up on the walls." And she said, "When I look outside, I see beautiful things too. I see birds and I see hummingbirds and these beautiful flowers and clouds in the sky. And I realized that those things can't just get there by themselves. They couldn't have created themselves. There must be a master artist, a master philosopher and poet and artist. And I think that's God." And that was how my 8-year-old daughter came to the conclusion. But I think that you have what I would say, Mariah, is that there's really only two choices. Either there is a creator who made everything, or everything got here by chance. You're here by chance. And we all know that something has to be eternal. Something has to have been here forever. Either matter and space and energy is here forever, or a personal beginning. So it's either impersonal space plus time plus chance, or a personal beginning like an artist or a creator. And when you look at those two possibilities, and they're really, there's a little bit of wiggle room in between, but those are the real two possibilities we have. When you look at those and you say, "Well, I'm here only by chance. Everything got here by chance." That means life has no meaning whatsoever. It means I'm only a collection of molecules and hormones and electronics. And there's no purpose or meaning ultimately. When I die, everything just is gone because I'm just going to go back to the molecules of the earth. If you look at the other side that says that there's a God who created, all of a sudden then there's the possibility of there being an ultimate eternal purpose. Personality means something because I'm made in the image of God. Therefore, he can love, I can love. He creates, I can create. He speaks and has language, I speak and have language. And what it means then is that everything has the potential to have meaning and purpose and value. So when I look at these two, I say, well, I cannot believe and accept that view that everything is time plus chance plus matter, because if I view that matter, then my whole life is a waste. Everything is really meaningless. If I look at the creator, then everything is beautiful. Everything has meaning and love and language and creativity. All of those are real things that I have because God, who is a creator, made me like himself. That's why I'm a Christian, and that's why I believe in a deity, a God or a creator or an artist, whatever you want to call him.
Mariah, how does that strike you?
Feel good.
Okay. Do you have any other questions that you wanted to ask?
So let's say I do start believing in stuff. How would you, I guess my question is, how would I pursue in this if I do start believing, like, I don't know.
Okay. How do you pursue? All right. So if she starts believing, then how does she follow up on that, Steve?
I become more impressed with you all the time.
Yeah, that's a good question.
All right, that's a very good question. Well, if there is a God, and I have come to the conclusion that there is, and I think if you look at it seriously, you will too. Then you have to say, well, what kind of a God is he? What is he like? Has he ever spoken? Does he reveal himself to us? Has he just made us and dropped us here like an egg and then kind of let the egg hatch and he just stands back and watches it? Or is he involved in his creation like an artist who builds a house or builds something? Is he involved in it? Does he care about it? And has he spoken? And then that's why I'm a Catholic, actually, because in the Catholic Church, we believe that God loved us so much that he came down and became one of us even. He took on human flesh and became Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. And he came down and spoke to us and talked to us and revealed himself to us. And the Catholic Church has, I think, the fullness of the knowledge of God and how he's revealed himself to us in scriptures and in the tradition of the church and in the many wonderful saints and prophets and priests and so on. And so I would say probably the best way to get started is to find a Catholic church nearby and go talk to somebody there and tell them what you're thinking, and I think they would love to help you. I would also read in the Bible the Gospel of John. I wrote a book on it. It's 450 pages, so I really love that gospel. It's real easy to read. It's interesting, and I think it'll introduce you to God and to Jesus Christ and to how valuable you are as a human being.
Mariah, we're very, very grateful for your call, and we'd love to send you a book. If you hang on the line for a quick sec after we have to go to a break, but if you just stay on the line, if you want to give someone, it's up to you, if you want to give someone an address to where they can send it, we'll be happy to send you this book. It's called Why We're Catholic. It's by Trent Horn, and it addresses many of the things that we have talked about and many more things as well. Mariah, very, very grateful for that call. Please call anytime. And it's open forum for those who are listening for non-Catholics today. So if you are not a Catholic, but you have questions about faith, about hope, about charity, or about anything else that we believe as Catholics, we're happy to take those questions. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Steve Ray is our guest, and we'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live with Steve Ray. Today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett from Catholic Answers Live. It's October, and as we head down the stretch toward the end of the year, Catholic Answers is kicking off the annual winter sale in their online shop with great discounts on all of the books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s we carry. With great new releases on church history, scripture, Bible prophecy, and the saints, the shop at Catholic.com is once again your go-to place for solid Catholic resources with a store-wide discount in addition. Just enter the promo code WINTER at checkout in our newly redesigned shop and you'll save 20% off your total purchase. That's right, 20% off hundreds of great Catholic books, DVDs, CDs, ebooks, and MP3s from now until the end of the year. That's shop.catholic.com.
Pope Francis said, "The key that opens the door to faith is prayer." Join St. Paul Street Evangelization by running a prayer station in the public square. You don't need to be a professional apologist or theologian. Just listen to the needs of the people you encounter. Offer encouragement, take prayer requests, and pray with people. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Luke 10:25, when a scholar wishing to justify himself asked, "Who is my neighbor?" Jesus told him the parable of the man who fell victim to robbers and was left half dead at the side of the road. Of all the people who saw him and passed by, only a Samaritan, a man hated by Jews, stopped and took care of him. Notice how when people don't want to deal with a matter, they will often throw up a question in response. What do you mean by is? Or in this case, who is my neighbor? Is from the verb to be, the object of which is truth. And neighbor is the truth of who the person before us is. All day long, our whole life long, we are confronted with the truth that is before us. To affirm it and its consequences or to deny it remains our constant choice. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
And welcome back to Open Forum for Non-Catholics this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Steve Ray, the author of a whole bunch of, well, three books and Crossing the Tiber. I'm trying to think which is the most relevant to our topic, and all three of them are. Crossing the Tiber, Upon This Rock, and St. John's Gospel are all.
Actually, I have a fourth book now too called Faith for Beginners.
What?
Understanding the Creeds.
Could you just wait till I get one done before you write another one? All right, I'd like
so
to.
So it's called Faith for Beginners.
Okay.
Understanding the Creed. So that would be one that would really apply for these topics today. And I have another one coming out by Ignatius by the end of the year, and it's called The Papacy, The History, The history, understanding the papacy, an overall view.
Very good.
Easy to read.
All those, very relevant to our show today. Open forum for non-Catholics. If you are not a Catholic and you have an interest in some aspect or in the entirety of the Catholic faith, we're happy to take your calls. 888-31-TRUTH, the number. We go now to Richard, traveling through Indiana, listening on 106.3. Richard, your question for Steve Ray.
How you doing today?
Very good.
My question is about the offering. Is it a requirement to give money to the church? And when you go, you must give money. Is that a requirement?
Good question. I'll tell you right now, Richard, you could start going to a Catholic church tomorrow and never put one penny in, and you would be fine and welcome there every Sunday. Nobody is requiring anything. It's not mandatory. You can visit and you can be there, and it doesn't cost you a penny. When the offering plate goes around, it's voluntary. And once you join a parish, say I joined our parish and I said, look, I want to be a member of this parish, put my name in the books there, and I want to be a part of this. I want to help support. Then they ask me to help support. They'll say, we're going to build a new part of the church, or we got to fix the furnace, or we're going to help send some missionaries to somewhere else, and could you help support us? And then I do. Then people give. And a lot of people want to give because Jesus said that we should be generous and we should share our wealth and we should help other people. A lot of the money that goes in the offering plate at the Catholic Church goes to feed poor people, to help with medicine and all kinds of other charitable things. But you can go to a Catholic church and never put a dime in, and you're still going to get a handshake at the door every Sunday.
Yeah, I heard it was like 10%. Once you join, you're supposed to like put in 10% of your income.
Well, that is an Old Testament. I'm going to step out on a limb here. That is an Old Testament. It's called a tithe. A tithe is 10% of your income. The Catholic Church never gives you an amount that you have to give. Protestant churches do. Many Protestant churches do. The Mormons, they have to give 10%, and they even have people that come in and check your bank accounts and make sure that you're actually giving 10%. But and a lot of Protestant churches say tithing. I grew up Baptist, by the way, and I remember that word tithe came out every Sunday when they passed the offering. Make sure you give your tithes and offerings. That meant 10% plus more. You give your tithe and your offering. But the Catholic Church has never made that requirement on us.
Richard, thank you very, very much for that call. I noticed this too, Steve. More and more parishes have the kind of like the online giving. So I think you actually see fewer people in those parishes putting money in the basket, for example,
yep,
because they're doing it electronically.
Right. Yeah. I went to an evangelical church, and this was 25 years ago before I became Catholic, and I remember them passing the credit card slider up and down the aisles where you could put your credit card in like this. And
I'd like to belong to a church where they check your bank account, because then when I'm overdrawn, then the church has to give me 10%, right? Is that what happens?
I wish it was that way.
Yeah, that's my kind of church. Bradley in North Dallas, Texas, listening on 9:10 a.m. You are on with Steve Ray. Your question, Bradley.
I was just wondering, what's the difference between a Catholic church and I go to a Protestant Reformed church, I believe is what it is. And what's really the difference? Because I've always been a Christian, not Catholic.
Well, very good question. And I think it's a very honest question. My daughter went to a camp one time, and we had just become Catholics, and she was about 12 years old. And someone asked her, why would you want to be Catholic when you could be a Christian? I thought that was a funny question, because it was saying, well, if you're a Catholic, then you're no longer a Christian. But the Catholics are actually the very first Christians. We can trace our church and the bishops in our church in succession all the way back to the apostles. And right in my book I have called Upon This Rock, I have a list of all the popes, starting with Peter, Linus, Cletus, Clement, and it goes all the way through 266 popes all the way to Pope Francis today. So one of the differences between Protestant churches and the Catholic Church is we trace our church all the way back to the very beginning, and no other church can do that. If you're a Lutheran church, you started 500 years ago. If you're Assemblies of God, you started a couple hundred years ago, and so on. down the line. Another thing that's different about the Catholic Church is that we believe we're one big organization, one big family, and we have a pope, which is the head of the church. He's the head bishop in a sense, and we have a unity, and we look to the pope as the source of unity for our church. And so everybody has like a father, we call, you could make it look like that, a chief maybe, or a father, it depends on how you want to look at it. Then we have that as our source of unity. So we're all one big family, and we don't break up into little groups that divide, like Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, Charismatic, or whatever. The Catholic Church has been here from the beginning, and we're still one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and we have authority. So there's a courts and judicials right in within the church. And so there's a lot of other distinctions, but I think those two are, for the sake of our discussion right now, the fact that we go all the way back to the beginning, we're over a billion strong, and that we have a source of unity which allows us to be big, one big family without spinning off into all these little broken off groups.
Okay.
That makes sense?
I think that answers my question, yeah.
Thank you, Bradley. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
888-318-7884, our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Steve, Dan on Facebook asks, and I'm going to just tighten this question up a little bit, but basically, if you, Steve, believe that Protestants can go to heaven, aren't you teaching that you don't need to be Catholic to get to heaven?
Well, I don't think you have to be Catholic to get to heaven, because the catechism is very clear that there are others who have never heard of the name of Jesus who will get to heaven. Now you say, well, what? Wait, the Bible says that only by the name of Jesus will be saved. But let's use this example. I was raised in a Christian home. Jesus was probably the first word I learned, because my mom and dad loved the Bible, and they taught me the Bible, and we prayed, and all this. I knew all about Jesus and the Bible. Think about a little boy maybe in the jungles of Africa or somewhere else where they never heard this, where he's never heard it. They worship the trees and the rocks and the wild animals. It's called animism or some of these other kind of natural religions. And he's never heard the name of Jesus. He doesn't know anything about the Trinity or God. And when we get to heaven and I die at 10 years old and he dies at 10 years old and I stand before God and God says, well, Steve Ray, you knew about my son. You accepted my son as the savior of the world, and so you can come into heaven. But you, little boy who lived in Africa, you didn't know about Jesus and you didn't know about the Trinity, so I'm sending you to hell. Well, what kind of a God does that? What kind of a God would be so unjust as to punish that boy, not because of any fault of his own? It's not his fault he didn't know about Jesus. If he lived in my family, he would have heard about Jesus, but he didn't. So God is a merciful God, and the catechism says that all people, it's based on their conscience. If they seek after God and they obey their conscience and they try to do what's right before God, and their ignorance is due to no fault of their own, that these two may also have eternal life. It doesn't say they will, but God is the one who judges, and God judges by the heart. And if that person gets to heaven, it is still based on the work of Jesus Christ and not on anything else. The mercy of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ will be applied to that boy in Africa just like it's applied to me. And that's the catechism. I think it's paragraph 845. And if it's not 845, it's a couple up or down from there. But I think that's a good way to answer that question, is that Not saying that only a Catholic, a baptized Catholic who goes to Mass every single day and goes to confession once a month, they're going to go to heaven. I think when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised by some of the people we see up there. And I think that some of the people who think they're going to be there are going to be surprised when they don't show up.
Oh, that's a frightening thought, Steve. And thank you, Dan, for that question. But we don't ever say as Catholics, and I like to stress, especially when we have a lot of non-Catholics listening on an open forum, that you can be saved by some other means than Jesus. It's
exactly.
Just Jesus. Everyone who is saved is saved by Jesus through his church, but not everybody,
exactly.
Not everybody knows that on this side of death.
Right. You're not going to work your way to heaven. You're not going to pay for it. You can't turn in $1 billion and get a ticket. You're not going to do so many good things that you're going to get there. God reads our hearts. God knows our conscience. He knows our actions, and he is a merciful God. And even if we do get saved and we do get to heaven, it's always based on the mercy of God and based on the merits and the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And that's a pretty infinite number of merits that he's got there for us, too.
Yeah.
It's never hopeless. 888-318-7884 is our number, 888-31-TRUTH. Steve Ray is our guest. Steve Ray is the author of, you got to say the name of the latest book, Steve. I don't want to get that one, leave that one out again.
Faith for Beginners.
Faith for Beginners, as well as St. John's Gospel, Upon This Rock, and Crossing the Tiber. Open forum for non-Catholics means we just leave the lines open for you if you are not a Catholic, and any question that you would like answered about the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith, the hope that we have as Catholics, we are happy to share those, well, to share our answers to those questions when we come back right after this.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live. EWTN is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If your cable or satellite provider doesn't carry EWTN's full programming lineup, give them a call and let them know you would like to receive EWTN 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
For more information, go to EWTN.com and click on television.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day. In conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we as believers are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a go-to resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. If you're not a Catholic, or if you have maybe an obstacle to some aspect of the Catholic faith, today is the day for you. This hour, Steve Ray is our guest, and we're taking calls on any aspect of the Catholic faith for people who are not Catholic. It's open forum for non-Catholics today. Give us a call, 888-318-7884. Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here with us, and we're going to be discussing particular obstacles to the faith. If you have an obstacle to entering the Catholic Church, or if you're a Catholic and you have an obstacle to believing something that you think maybe is essential to the Catholic faith, Carlo will be here to take your calls. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. We go now to Mike in Rochester, New York, listening on 92.9 FM. Mike, your question for Steve Ray.
Hi. Hi, Steve Ray. My question is, okay, when we give our confessions, or even to the Lord Christ for forgiveness of sins, I heard our sins are removed from us. Is that correct?
Yes.
They're gone?
There's a passage in the Bible that God says that I will remove your sins as far as the east is from the west. When he forgives, God is not a vindictive God. He's not one that holds a grudge and is like an elephant that never forgets. Us people are like that sometimes. Even if somebody comes and says, I'm sorry, we continue the next time we see him to think of the thing that they said to us, the thing that made us mad, even though they apologize, it's still in the back of our mind. God's not like that. When God says, I forgive you of your sins based on the merits of my son, Jesus Christ, who died and shed his blood on the cross for you, when I say your sins are forgiven, I remember them no more. God has a weak memory at that point. When he forgives us our sins, he forgets them.
Mike, does that address what you're...
Great, yes. You helped me out there a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Jane in Bloomington, Illinois, listening on 92.5 FM. You are on with Steve Ray. Jane, your question, please.
Oh, and I was just wondering, since I'm a Protestant and have had a divorce in my background before remarrying and being married to my soulmate for 35 years until he passed of cancer. He's been gone 6 years today, and God has brought another person into my life through no intention of my own or his. He is Catholic, and I am not, and we're in our 80s, so it's a little hard for me to learn anything about the Catholic religion. I am a Protestant and would intend to stay so. Is there any problem with us marrying since he's Catholic and I'm not, and I have a divorce in my background way back about 50 years ago?
Has he been married and divorced?
No, he was married and is a widower, same as me. Only
my guess is that the Catholic Church takes marriage very seriously, and that it's a covenant between people. But when you were not a Catholic and he has not had a divorce, I see no impediment. And there's no problem with a Protestant marrying a Catholic if you understand it. And you can go to the priest and, you know, to his priest. And I'm sure that especially at your age. By the way, congratulations. You know, my mom is 96 right now, and she really loves the Lord, and she takes it all seriously too. So congratulations on that. And I would say go to his priest. If he's a Catholic, I'm assuming he attends Mass somewhere, and tell the priest what you would like to do and what you need to do, and they can help you through the process. And that's the first one, is the whole issue of marriage and so on. But then the second issue is when you realize that that you're husband or husband-to-be, the man that you have found, is at a Catholic. Many people think, Protestants think, that Catholics aren't Christians, but we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the cross. In fact, we're the very first Christians, because Protestantism only started 500 years ago, where Catholics as Christians started 2,000 years ago. And that book that I have, by the way, Faith for Beginners, would be a good book, because it would help you understand him. That's one of the things you'll want to be able to do, is understand him. Why do you believe this? Why do you do that in your church? Why don't we do things differently? It's a good idea, and I think it's very smart of you to do what you can to learn about him and to learn why we as Catholic Christians do what we do. I think it'll only make you love the guy more.
Jane, does that help you?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
888-31-TRUTH, our number, 888-318-7884. Open forum for non-Catholics. We're happy to take your call about any aspect of the Catholic Church. We'd love to answer your questions. We go now to Dan in Las Vegas, Nevada, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Dan, are things healing there in Las Vegas? How is everything?
You know, it's doing amazingly well. Considering the disaster that happened, I mean, it's nothing that we want ever to see again, but
amen. Right.
It just happens.
Well, you've had a lot of people praying for you, Dan. Your city's had a lot of people praying for you. Go ahead, Dan, your question
city,
for Steve.
Our city needs a lot of prayer. one of the things I heard you mention something about the popes that succeeded Peter.
Right.
And I'm not really so much interested. I'm sure you have history on that. Otherwise, you wouldn't give those names. But the question I have is regarding the Peter being the first pope. And there are places where the Great Commission is recorded, in Luke and in Matthew and in Mark. And actually, if you want to include John, when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born of water and spirit.
Right.
Matthew is probably the popular one, where Jesus, according to Matthew, said to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just curious as to what the Catholic Church thinks the name is. Peter said it was Jesus, and Philip said it was Jesus, and Paul said it was Jesus. What does the Catholic Church say the name is?
Well, when it says in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, it's saying that the Catholic Church has always taught that you say I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that title that they have, the name of God is Yahweh. That's the name that he first introduced himself by name to Moses at Mount Sinai. Up until that time, he was just referred to as God. But Moses said, who should I say sent me? And he said, my name is I Am That I Am. Tell them that I am sent me. And in Hebrew, that's Yahweh. So, and Jesus, obviously, his name is Jesus. The Holy Spirit doesn't have a name. He's an unnamed servant in a sense, because we only know him as a description. He's holy and he's a spirit. So when the Catholic Church says that you be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is the name that we're to baptize in. He's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
What about in Isaiah, where it says, unto us a child is born and a son is given, and his name shall be called the Everlasting
Emmanuel.
Father.
And Emmanuel.
His name shall be. Well, he had several titles. His name was Jesus, but his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. So according to Isaiah, you could call the name of the Son, an entitlement of the name of the Son, if I read that correctly, in Isaiah 96, is Jesus.
Well, the Son is called. I'm not sure what you are. You a Unitarian? Do you believe in the Trinity? Do you believe in the Trinity? That's what I thought. See, one of the things, a problem when you call in is like that. If you're going to ask a question, you ought to at least let us know where you're coming from. See, because really now I see that you're trying to do something quite different than what I first thought you intended to do. You were asking me about baptism and how we do that, but now what you're really doing is you're trying to impose the idea that there is no such thing as a Trinity, and that God sometimes reveals himself as Father, sometimes he's a son, sometimes, just like I'm a father to my son, I'm a son to my father, and I'm a husband to my wife. So I'm one person, but I manifest myself in three ways. I think that that's kind of where you're coming from. And the Catholic Church has categorically denied that from the very beginning, and says that God is one God, but he's made of three persons, and those persons are Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what we believe. And that's, now that I know where you're coming from, I know more what you're question is and what you're trying to do.
Well, I think it's important for people to know that Peter, who had the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and anything he binds on earth will be bound in heaven, he interpreted what Matthew said, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, according to Peter, was Jesus.
It was the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's quite clear that he says that. He was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There are three persons. And then when you study Scripture, you see that there are three persons. There are three distinct persons. They even communicate with one another. If I'm one person, I don't communicate and talk to myself back and forth between two persons. And you see this. Even when the fire and brimstone came down at Sodom and Gomorrah, it said Yahweh on the earth rained down fire from Yahweh who was in heaven. There's two. So, I mean, this is a whole nother topic of dealing with the Trinity. Maybe you could call in on another show where they have the Trinity as the topic, and whether there's one person or three persons. But the Catholic Church has always said there's three persons. That is from the beginning, too. The idea that you have that God is one person and not three persons, that heresy was handled very distinctly and very clearly all through the early five first centuries of the church. And the Catholic Church and all Christians, I'd say almost all Christians, except there's Pentecostal, Unitarian Pentecostals, and a few others, and Jehovah's Witnesses too, and others, they believe that God is one. It's also Muslims believe that God is one and not a Trinity. But I think this is a topic for another show.
Dan, thanks very much for that call. If you would like more information on the Trinity, you can go to Catholic.com and just type in the word Trinity, and there'll be an enormous amount of information for you there. For callers who are non-Catholic and would like to talk with Steve Ray about any aspect of the Catholic faith, 888-318-7884. Our number. We'll be right back with more after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
I fell away from the practice of my Catholic faith in my college years. But after I got married and we were expecting our first child, I had an enormous tug to come back to my roots. I went to an incredible Catholic store in my town and was blown away by the kindness and knowledge of the staff. They not only recommended books for me and my bride, but they promised me prayer support for my journey back to the faith. Wow, what an incredible Catholic store. I have to credit them for helping me on my journey home to the Catholic Church. Now they consider me part of their family, and I have shared with them my oldest son's desire to become a Catholic priest someday. An incredible Catholic store in your area can be found at IncredibleCatholicStore.com. That's IncredibleCatholicStore.com. The Incredible Catholic Store, transforming the world one soul at a time.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
As the legend goes, the Protestant Reformation began when Martin Luther nailed the list of his grievances with the Catholic Church to the door of All Saints Church in Wittenberg, Germany. But do you know the whole story? In Catholic Answers' brand new documentary, The Protestant Revolution, you will hear from top apologists Tim Staples, Jimmy Akin, Carla Broussard, Trent Horn, and Steve Weidenkopf as they expose the errors of Martin Luther and of the other so-called reformers. This DVD will give you a clearer understanding of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and you will be better equipped to engage them about what separates us and about what unites us. Order your copy of The Protestant Revolution today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting shop.catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Steve Ray, our guest this hour. It's an open forum for anyone who is not a Catholic. If you have questions about the Catholic faith, we are trying our very best to answer those questions. We go now to Carlos in Frisco, Texas, listening on 910 AM. Carlos, your question for Steve Ray.
Hey there. I'm not religious.
Hi, Carlos.
Hey, how you doing? I'm not religious, but I was listening to a Protestant show earlier today, and it's been on my mind all day, and I happen to come upon this show. The Protestant, I'm not sure if he was a pastor or a preacher or what, but they were talking about the Midianites and, I guess, the war between the Midianites and the Israelites, and the Israelites killed all the men and the boys. I believe that's what happened. And so my question is, what did the Midianites ever do to the Israelites? But he kept saying that this is just God wanted this, so it was done, and it's like a good thing. And I was really thinking about that today.
Well, let's first say that this pastor who's saying that, oftentimes they like to put words in God's mouth and say that God would say this is just. God never wants anybody to die. God wanted the world to be perfect. In the Garden of Eden, he set everything up to be perfect. And there was not going to be any death and any killing in any of these wars or anything like that. Man brought sin into the world. Man corrupted what God created to be beautiful. And because of that, things got twisted. They got warped. They got out of kilter. Wars started. Killing started. Even in the Garden of Eden, you know, after they got kicked out right away, Cain kills Abel, and all of a sudden you've got war and bloodshed and all of this. So now we're dealing with a new reality. It's not what God wants. Now God is kind of coming back and say, okay, now that it's this way, we're going to have to deal with it in a new format, so to speak. And when the Midianites, one of the things you got to remember about these pagan cultures, and I say that because pagan means without God, they had their own foreign pagan gods, is that the Midianites and some of these others had some pretty horrendous religions. And I just did filmed a movie on Elijah and Elisha. And one of the things that in making that movie I'm showing is what the people of that land did during the time when Israel was coming back to get the land. And they had infant sacrifices to the point where they had gods called Moloch and Chemosh, Baal and Asherah. And they would actually, they would pass their children through the fire. These rituals were fertility rites for the crops and the rains. It was all fertility rites. It was very erotic stuff. And they would actually burn their children in the fire as a sacrifice to the gods to get the rains to come down. And God at certain points said that a culture or a group of people were so wicked, that they were so evil, that he had to do something about it. And when the children of Israel went into Egypt, God said that I can't let you have Canaan now because these people are their sin has not yet become ripe. And what I mean by that is God never wants to punish people. He always gives people chance. He's always merciful. But sometimes these cultures, especially that in the land of Canaan, which Israel took over, became so horrendously evil that God thought that it is best to move them out and eliminate them and bring Israel in, that they can have more of a righteous practice and a righteous country. Unfortunately, Israel ended up doing a lot of the things that the Canaanites and the Midianites did. But that's a little of the historical context. Now, for that guy to say that God said it's just and we want to give us God up in heaven, we just love to kill people. No, that's not at all the case. God sometimes cleanses things because it's become so evil.
Carlos?
Hey. Yeah, that's it's interesting. I just wasn't familiar with it. I could ask 10 more follow-up questions, but I'll read up more on that.
Carlos, so, can I suggest some reading for you? If I could just suggest some reading for you. It's a book by Trent Horn. I know I keep recommending Trent's books today, but they are relevant. And it's called Hard Sayings. And it's
And he talks about how God can do these kind of things, right? It explains it.
Right. And so if you're up for that book, you can get it at our shop on Catholic.com. But Hard Sayings is one that I think will really help you because Trent digs into exactly this area where your question lies. We're getting close to the top of the hour. I got to move on. Carlos, thank you very, very much. We go now to
thank you, Carlos.
Kimber in Richmond, Virginia, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. Kimber, your question for Steve Ray.
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I was baptized Methodist many, many years ago when I was in high school. And now that I'm older and just finding my way going in a different direction, Catholicism is something that just feels very true to my heart. I don't know why. It's just something, the reading that I've been doing. And I'm not really sure already that I've been baptized, how do I introduce myself into this religion and into Catholicism? Is it something, because I feel like when I want to go to a church, I feel intimidated just to walk in because I don't know what I'm really supposed to do at a Catholic church.
I understand. Sit in the back row. Just watch everybody else.
Sit in the back
row. Just don't sit in the front row, not in a Catholic church.
And just watch everybody. No, because you're right. When you come into a Catholic church, they'll have in the pew, usually a missal, and you find the date. So Sunday was October 8th, and you find it, and then you'll see the readings because everybody recites things together. The priest will say, "Peace be with you," and we say, "with your spirit." And you know, the first time I went, just so you'll know, Kimber, I had no clue what was going on, and I knew I didn't have a clue what was going on, and I sat and I watched, and then I went with a Catholic friend, and I said, I want you to show me what's going on. Show me what they're doing with that book called a missal. I thought a missal was something that you shot at the moon. I didn't, you know, had no idea what a missal. It's a book that the Catholic Church uses. And I had a Catholic who took me and sat with me in the back and just whispered to me and helped me understand what was happening. And don't be intimidated because there are good folks in there. Some of them are, you know, they're not always friendly. And if you've been going to Protestant churches, you'll probably think Catholics, depends on which one you go to, maybe not as friendly as some of the other ones. But when you get there, it's going to be a whole lot friendlier. I would say also that your baptism as a Methodist, the way I know that I'm quite certain that Methodists baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit with water. So that will be considered by the Catholic Church a valid baptism, as we believe there's only one baptism. And if you've been baptized even in another denomination, then that baptism is valid. And what happens when you finally decide you want to do something about this is you go to a Catholic parish near your house and you talk to whoever's there, the priest, and say, I would like to learn about becoming a Catholic. Now, they have classes, and this is what's really nice. Every Catholic church does this. It's called RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation. And what it is maybe every week or every 2 weeks, you come in with other people like yourself who are wanting to become Catholic and who are maybe coming from Protestant or atheist, and you're all together in this room. There may be 5 or 10 or 15 of you. Each one of you would have a sponsor, a Catholic who comes along, and you would either they'll help you find one, or you can, if you know a good Catholic friend. And you go through the classes. You go through, what is God? Who is Jesus? What is salvation? What is the Pope? What about the church? How do we pray? Let's learn about all the saints. It's a marvelous class, and it's like over a year long. And then all those people that go through the class, when you come to that point, on Easter Vigil, the night before Easter, all of those people are brought forward. The ones who need to be baptized would be baptized. Since you already are, you wouldn't be. But then you're confirmed. The priest will put oil on your forehead and say, I confirm you in Jesus Christ in the name of the church, and then you take Holy Communion and you're a Catholic. And it's a wonderful experience because, like you, I was outside. I fell in love with the Catholic Church by reading about it. And then I found a friend who took me and explained to me what was going on. And then we joined RCIA. And the next thing I know, our whole family came into the Catholic Church, and we never looked back. We're still in love.
Great. Well, that's good. Yeah, like I said, it's just something I feel this calling for, and I love it because it's so much more personal, I feel like, just the studies and things than what I'm used to. And it feels right for me. So I'm at the age right now that I'm at, I'm pushing the big 6-0, and I'm thinking, you know, this is something that I've wanted to do. But like I said, I have been intimidated because, you know, I didn't really know what to do, if I should go in first or go to a church. But thank you so much. You've answered a lot of my questions, and I feel more comfortable now.
And we as Catholics welcome you. We're glad you're going to join with us. You'll never look back. And when you look at the outside of the church, it's wonderful. But once you get inside, it's more beautiful than it even looks from the outside. Being a Catholic is marvelous.
Kimber, thank you for that. That's a lovely call to get on a Monday. That's a great way to start our week. And please call anytime. We're here to answer your questions if we can. 888-31-TRUTH, our number. Our topic this hour, open forum for non-Catholics. We go now to Ann in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 1430 AM. Ann, your question for Steve Ray.
Hello.
Hello, Ann.
Hello.
Hi, Ann.
I just had a question about divorce and the difference between a divorce and annulment. And
yes.
Just to give you context, my father and mother got divorced when I was 2, and he got remarried about 10 years later. And then 10 years after that, he called my mother and asked her for an annulment, and she wouldn't give it to him because she said, you can't erase children. And
yeah.
So I'm just wondering what the difference is.
Since the time is short, let me give you just a real quick one. The Catholic Church believes that marriage is something that is the prerogative of the church. In other words, it's a sacrament, and the church is in charge of it, not the government. And it is a covenant. That means that when one marries, Jesus said in the book of Genesis, and Jesus reaffirms it, is that when a man and woman become married, they become one flesh. It's a covenant to the point where they become one. It's like a family. They join together in such a way that you can't separate it. Only death can separate it. And so when someone divorces a wife, when they have this covenant relationship, a divorce doesn't break that covenant. And in the church's eyes, they're still married. And if they go out and they marry someone else, then they're living in adultery. Now, the Protestants and the secular country, they say, no, it's just a contract. It's not a covenant where you become one. It's a contract where you agree to live together and to be married. And if it doesn't work out down the road, then you can get a divorce. And you go your way, and you go your way, and you can remarry. It doesn't matter. Now, not all Protestants are that flippant about it, but I mean, I came from a group that was. So that what happens is an annulment. There are certain times when a man and a woman are married, and there is something invalid about that covenant relationship. For example, maybe he took a shotgun and says, you're going to marry me, when she was 10 years old and she had no choice. Later on, the church says, well, that's not a real marriage. So an annulment is finding out when a marriage was not really a valid marriage, and they say that you can separate from that. Hopefully that was a quick answer between one is a covenant, one is a contract, basically.
Ann, Thank you very, very much for that call. Thank you to all our callers. If you're on the line, you might want to stay on the line because it might fit with what Carlo's got coming up next hour. Carlo Broussard will be here to talk about objections to the Catholic faith, and anyone is welcome to call. Steve Ray, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Si. It's always fun. Talk to you next month.
Okay. Talk to you then. Enjoy your travels.
Thank you. God bless.
888-31-TRUTH, the number. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will be handling objections to the Catholic faith. Whether you're a Catholic or not, your objections are, or excuse me, obstacles to the Catholic faith. We'd like to help you get over those obstacles, so give us a call. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.